Good evening, everyone. I'm going to get started a little bit early just to double check our connections. So Doug, if you can let me know if you can see and hear me okay through our private messaging system. And if so, we will move forward with tonight's live stream. We have a lot to cover, but tonight, something we have not done for quite some time is to open up for your questions. So about an hour and a half ago, I posted in Band a request that you begin to post your questions there. And I will, of course, refer to those questions here once I move through the items that I have prepared for tonight. Okay, Doug is telling me that we're good to go, so let's move on. Tonight's live stream is entitled Doctor, and a couple of reasons for that title that you'll see. We're referencing Matthew chapter 9, verse 12. So let's go right to our scripture for this evening. Verse 12, Matthew 9. On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." So let's put this in context. Jesus calls Matthew, verse 9, from chapter 9, chapter 9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. Later, Jesus was dining at Matthew's house. Many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." Sometimes I like to reference the commentaries from BibleHub.com, and in this case, I'd like to read from Matthew Henry's concise commentary. Matthew chapter 9, verses 10 through 13. Sometime after his call, Matthew sought to bring his old associates to hear Christ. He knew by experience what the grace of Christ could do and would not despair concerning them. Those who are effectually brought to Christ cannot but desire that others may also be brought to him. Those who suppose their souls to be without disease will not welcome the spiritual physician. This was the case with the Pharisees. They despised Christ because they thought themselves whole. But the poor publicans and sinners felt that they wanted instruction and amendment. It is easy and too common to put the worst constructions upon the best words and actions. It may justly be suspected that those have not the grace of God themselves who are not pleased with others obtaining it. Christ conversing with sinners is here called mercy, for to promote the conversion of souls is the greatest act of mercy. The gospel call is a call to repentance, a call to us to change our minds and to change our ways. If the children of men had not been sinners, there had been no need for Christ to come among them. Let us examine whether we have found out our sickness and have learned to follow the directions of our great physician. It's not often, at least in my experience, that we hear Jesus Christ referenced as a physician, more often than not as a teacher, as a prophet, and to those on the other side of the aisle, a blasphemer. I think it appropriate in this day and age, in this plandemic age, on the verge of the reset, on the verge of the revealing of the Antichrist, to the millions, perhaps billions of people who have already taken the mark of the beast with the very first inoculation, it is appropriate to view Jesus Christ as physician, as healer. That within the context of the good news of the gospel of salvation. For the opposite, obviously, of the mark of the beast that results in the condemnation of the soul is the salvation of the soul by Jesus Christ. Through by the grace of God, you and I have been granted that gift of salvation. And with that, the discernment to recognize the mark of the beast when we have seen it, and as we continue to see the mark of the beast and we understand the consequences. And therefore, we continue to reach out to the unvaccinated, for they are the only ones today that can be saved. There's another reason for tonight's live stream entitled Doctor. And I'd like to share someone with you that we have published twice in Entangled Magazine, and we have spoken of at length, especially in 2020. Dr. Luc Montagnier, Nobel-winning co-discoverer of HIV, dies at 89. I'm reading from the NewYorkTimes.com. This is dated February 10th, today, 2022. For those of you that have not listened to our presentations regarding his research and his statements, here's a photograph from the New York Times of Dr. Luc Montagnier. Okay. He helped find the virus that causes AIDS, fell into a feud over it, and later turned controversial, taking an anti-vaccine stance during the COVID-19 crisis. Luc Montagnier, a French virologist who shared a Nobel Prize in 2008 for discovering the virus that causes AIDS, died on Tuesday in Paris, in the Paris suburb of, I'll just call it Sienne, I can't pronounce it in French. He was 89. The town hall confirmed that a death certificate for Dr. Montagnier had been filed there. For all the glory that Dr. Montagnier earned in helping to discover the virus today known as HIV, in later years he distanced himself from colleagues by dabbling in maverick experiments that challenged the basic tenets of science. Most recently, he was an outspoken opponent of coronavirus vaccines. Now, Kathleen and I have held him up in high regard, and we continue to do so with his passing. Therefore, I'm giving you a little review on some of the things that we have published about his work, about his statements. And these are more specific to the vaccine and the virus of SARS-CoV-2 and COVID-19, the disease that is tied to his research, his discovery of HIV, because of the inserts, the fragments, the genomic fragments of HIV-1 found in both the virus and the vaccines. So from the New York Times mainstream narrative perspective, they're not all that complimentary about Dr. Montagnier. But let's hear what the mainstream narrative wants to say with his passing. The discovery of HIV began in Paris on January 3rd of 1983. That was the day that Dr. Montagnier, who directed the viral oncology unit at the Pasteur Institute, received a piece of lymph node that had been removed from a 33-year-old man with AIDS. Dr. Willie Rosenbaum, the patient's doctor, wanted the specimen to be examined by Dr. Montagnier, an expert in retroviruses. Now remember, the importance that we placed on HIV as a retrovirus with respect to the virus SARS-CoV-2 is within the context of gain of function, because a retrovirus in the family of lentiviruses, its natural action within the cell is to enter the nucleus of the cell and integrate its viral genomic material, its sequence, if you will, into the host DNA, thus changing permanently the host DNA, forming a chimeric DNA. This is what a retrovirus does. This is why it's significant that Dr. Montagnier highlighted the paper published in January of 2020 by the Stanford and Indian researchers, one researcher from Stanford, regarding their discovery within the sequence, the genomic sequence of SARS-CoV-2, the genomic fragments of HIV, the retrovirus, meaning that this virus would integrate into the host DNA, and all subsequent vaccines, all based upon the virus, based upon the messenger RNA sequence of the virus, likewise must include, because they're utilizing the entire genomic sequence of the virus, which includes genomic fragments of HIV, the retrovirus. All of that in its entirety is included when you produce a vaccine against a virus. Thus, all the vaccines include the retrovirus HIV-1, fragments, not the entire sequence of the HIV virus, but fragments meant to increase the gain of function, meaning the ability of SARS-CoV-2 to enter and change the host DNA. This is where we drew our conclusion and continue to maintain our conclusion, our position that this is the mark of the beast, because it changes a person's DNA, resulting in the changing of their name, thus blotting their name from the book of life, as God tells us in Scripture. Thus, this is why we hold his research and the research that he verified coming out of India and Stanford regarding these fragments and the importance of the fragments. Okay? At that point, AIDS, or acquired immune deficiency syndrome, had no known cause, no diagnostic tests, and no effective treatments. Many doctors, though, suspected that the disease was triggered by a retrovirus, a kind of germ that slips into the host cell's DNA and takes control in a reversal of the way viruses typically work, hence the name retro. From this sample, Dr. Montagnier's team spotted the culprit, a retrovirus that had never been seen before. They named it LAV, for lymphadenopathy-associated virus. The Pasteur scientists, including Dr. Francois, and I can't pronounce the name, who later shared the Nobel Prize with Dr. Montagnier, reported their landmark finding in the May 20, 1983 issue of the journal Science, concluding that further studies were necessary to prove LAV caused AIDS. The following year, the laboratory run by the American researcher Dr. Robert Gallo at the National Institutes of Health, and this is during the era in which Dr. Fauci first became the director of the NIH, okay? This is in the early 80s. Published 4 articles in 1 issue of Science confirming the link between a retrovirus and AIDS. Dr. Gallo called his virus HTLV-3. There was some initial confusion as to whether the Montagnier team and the Gallo team had found the same virus or two different ones. When the two samples were found to have come from the same patient, scientists questioned whether Dr. Gallo had accidentally or deliberately got the virus from the Pasteur Institute. Now, I'm going to move on through some of this background. You can go to the New York Times and read this for yourself. I want to get to some of the other points. The Nobel Committee said it had no doubt as to who had made the fundamental discoveries concerning HIV. Introducing the winners at the award ceremony in Sweden, Professor Bjørn Benenstam, a committee member, said never before had science advanced so quickly from finding the disease-causing agent to antiviral agents. In his acceptance speech, contrary to the views of other AIDS experts, Dr. Montagnier said he believed that HIV relied on other factors to spark full-blown disease. HIV, he said, is the main cause but could also be helped by accomplices. He was referring to other infections, perhaps from bacteria, and a weakened immune system. By then, AIDS-related illnesses had killed more than 25 million people, and an estimated 33 million were living with HIV. After his work with HIV, Dr. Montagnier veered into non-traditional experiments, shocking and infuriating many colleagues. In one experiment, published in 2009 in a journal he founded, claimed that DNA emitted electromagnetic radiation. He suggested that some bacterial DNA continued to emit signals long after an infection had been cleared. He was always controversial, but I had the greatest respect for the team he assembled, said Donald P. Francis, who directed the AIDS laboratory at the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in the early days of the AIDS epidemic, and who was one of the first scientists to suggest that AIDS may be caused by an infectious agent. Okay. I like to give you excerpts rather than reading the entire. Okay. Rather than the entire article. Here's a little more background. This is from Whittier College. I'm trying to find a date for this article. Oh well. Anyway, this is from the Whittier College website. Dr. Luc Montagnier, 2008 Nobel Prize recipient and world-renowned virologist, gave a special lecture, HIV-AIDS Research, Past and Prospects, to launch the new Center for Science, Health, and Policy at Whittier College. Montagnier also received an honorary degree from Whittier, a Doctorate of Human Letters. Montagnier of the Pasteur Institute in Paris is credited with the 1983 discovery of HIV. I'm going to skip through because you've already heard me read this to you. Montagnier has received more than 20 major awards, including some of the Lasker Award, the King Faisal Award Foundation International Prize, known as the Arab Nobel Prize. In 2008, he was awarded the Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine for the discovery of HIV. So, this is the reason that we have paid so much attention to his research and his statements, and why we published in Entangled Magazine his findings and his statements. And I'd like to highlight the August of 2020 edition of Entangled Magazine. This coronavirus, and I'm taking excerpts, the coronavirus is man-made, according to Luc Montagnier, the man who discovered HIV. Contrary to the narrative that is being pushed by the mainstream that the COVID-19 virus was the result of a natural mutation and that it was transmitted to humans from bats via pangolins. Dr. Luc Montagnier, the man who discovered the HIV virus back in 1983, disagrees and is saying that the virus was man-made. He's saying that SARS-CoV-2 is a manipulated virus that was accidentally released from a laboratory in Wuhan, China. Chinese researchers are said to have used coronaviruses in their work to develop an AIDS vaccine. HIV RNA fragments are believed to have been found in the SARS-CoV-2 genome. According to the 2008 Nobel Prize for Medicine, a plausible explanation would be an accident in the Wuhan laboratory. He also added that the purpose of this work was the search for an AIDS vaccine. With my colleague, biomathematician Jean-Claude Perez, we carefully analyzed the description of the genome of this RNA virus, explains Luc Montagnier, interviewed by Dr. Francois Lemond for the Daily Podcast at Pourquoi Docteur, adding that others have already explored this avenue. Indian researchers have already tried to publish the results of the analysis that showed that this coronavirus genome contains sequences of another virus, the HIV virus. But they were forced to withdraw their findings as the pressure from the mainstream was too great. Now, we've published twice in Entangled magazine those findings, the actual sequences, including the sequences of the genomic fragments in the SARS virus, in its messenger RNA genome, in its sequence of RNA. Says Luc Montagnier, in order to insert an HIV sequence into this genome, molecular tools are needed, and that can only be done in a laboratory. So, there are three issues of the magazine, if you want to make note of this, that I would like to highlight for you for your convenience. The first one, from which I was just reading, is August of 2020. The second one is April of 2020 and June of 2020. So I can only believe that the good doctor is with Jesus Christ, that he is in heaven with God our Father. He solidified for us not only that this is the mark of the beast, not that he stated as such, but solidified in our minds from a biomolecular, from a genetic standpoint, the reason for this pandemic and the reason for pushing these vaccines was to change the DNA, eliminating a person's name as God wrote it in their DNA, doing that by the retroviral actions of HIV, something that obviously the man was a supreme expert and knew what he was talking about. So lest people who do listen to these live streams and read our magazine think that this is conjecture on our part, regarding the mark of the beast, regarding the changing of the DNA, have tried to debunk us in the past, have tried to trip us up using our own words, our own statements. You all have hired us as your researchers and reporters, and over the almost 5 years, we all have collaborated as friends here as researchers. And we have reported on your research as well as that of our own. We often say that we are reporting, and we are reporting the facts and the testimony as if we are in a court of law. This is how seriously we take it. This is not meant for sensationalism or fear-mongering. But we know that there are those that listen to us and try to trip us up. The same tactics were applied to Dr. Luc Montagnier. They even went so far as to post things in social media that he'd never said, and we've highlighted a couple of those and defended his reputation and his character and his good name. We held Dr. Luc Montagnier in high esteem, not only for his research, but for his bravery in speaking out against the mainstream science. I took a look through mainstream media to look at reports of his death. I did not find one that was devoid of disparaging his research and disparaging his character. I share this with you because this is emblematic of modern science today. Unless you toe the line, you suffer public ridicule, even from fellow scientists. In his last 20 or so years, he was denied grant funding for his own institute, for his continued research. He was blacklisted, a Nobel laureate, blacklisted from research funding because he did not toe the line. I applaud him for his bravery, for his honesty, for his ethics. Now, I don't know of his spiritual beliefs, but I would like to think that he was a man of God and that he was following the leadings of the Holy Spirit and that he was trying to save both spiritually and physically his fellow man. I was going to read a few more excerpts from the magazine, but I'd prefer that you go ahead and look them up yourselves. I want to leave time for questions tonight, so please post those in band. Kathleen is monitoring band, and we will do our best to address each of your questions tonight. One of the questions that popped up, interestingly enough, was a question regarding CERN. I had prepared a couple of slides for an update. Nothing is really going on there in terms of accelerating particles or collisions, so that's just, you know, that's the bottom line right there. But I wanted to just share with you some of the things that I utilize to keep tabs on what is happening at CERN. And here is their schedule. So beginning in 2021, and if you look at the bottom, you'll see the color-coded legend down below. But just to make it very easy for you, the green here indicates where ions, and these can be protons or ions of lead or ions even of gold. This is where ions are circulating in the main ring of the Large Hadron Collider and is indicative of collisions of ions. Okay, so beginning round about May or June of this year, they will begin full power collisions in the main ring. Right now, they are in the final stages of testing the equipment, calibrating the equipment, running ions through the accelerator sequence, they have pre-accelerators, beginning with a LINEAC 4, a linear straight line accelerator. And then those accelerated particles are injected into another accelerator, but this time instead of a straight line, it's circular like the main ring. It is a synchrotron. This is known as a proton synchrotron, abbreviated PS. Further acceleration takes place in the proton synchrotron, then injects those accelerated particles into an SPS, a super proton synchrotron. Further acceleration up to about 400 giga electron volts, then those are injected in two opposite directions into the main ring of the LHC, and you have two beam lines, separate beam lines, circulating now, accelerated particles that then are likewise further accelerated to 99.9% of the speed of light. They circulate 11,000 times per second, those accelerated particles, at near the speed of light, subliminal, meaning below luminosity, the level of luminosity, the speed of light. They're sub-relativistic, that's a better way to put it. Relativistic speeds are speeds at the speed of light or greater. Sub-relativistic is 99.99% and below. So then they collide, cross the streams, or bring them head on and resulting in collisions within the four main detectors. So none of those collisions are taking place, but we're looking at late May, early June for the first collisions to begin. You can see that they're projecting their activities for the present Large Hadron Collider and then into the more distant future for the high luminosity LHC. It's abbreviated HL-LHC, high luminosity. Now, with the way world events are unfolding and the way that Revelation is unfolding, this schedule that I'm sharing with you is pretty much irrelevant. I think beyond this year, CERN is going to be irrelevant. I do not believe it will be operating beyond 2022, okay? So these are the fantasies of Satan right here on this schedule, all right? Let's see, wrong slide. There we go. Another example, and I won't bore you with a whole series of these, but this is showing that there's no beam circulating. This is one of, I think there are about 20 different categories of instrumentation that I pay attention to with regard to what they're doing with the LHC. This is sort of a master slide that just indicates, again, that there is no activity in, other than calibration going on right now. You can see up in the upper right-hand corner the date, today's date, and the time is displayed. I share this with you as I have in the recent past because you will see things in YouTube land and other venues where sensationalists will say, oh, you know, CERN is colliding particles and they're opening portals and there's demons and there's whatever nonsense that they contrive. And I like to take you back to the facts, to the evidence, and say, nay, 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 as John Panette, the late John Panette, the comedian, used to say, nay, nay, nay. No, there are no collisions going on. There are no demons being photographed. Some of the silly stories that have come out in the past, way back. But what do I expect? I guess that's a natural question. What do I, as someone who has been talking about CERN in public since January 2013, I like to look at what they present to us. Again, often cited here, They're on video, their music video, Synergy. Synergy. Please, if you've not watched that video, watch it several times. You have the discernment of the Holy Spirit. There is an awful lot spiritually that is revealed in their own video. It includes the opening of the portal. The portal opening as a result of the machine self-destructing. Self-destructing because of the energy that is released due to the colliding of particles that release an energy in the peta electron volt range. Normally they operate at the tera or TeV, tera electron volt level, 13.5. They'll be accelerating and exceeding 13.5 this year. I would expect prior to the opening of their portal, their own doorway, that they have self-admitted as their goal, they will be hitting somewhere in the 14 to 16 TeV, tera electron volt, power level. But by my estimations, the interdimensional doorway that their then head of computing and engineering in 2009, Dr. Sergio Bertolucci, said, we are going to open an interdimensional doorway. We're going to send something through that doorway, but we're not sure what will return through that doorway. Now, I'm kind of elaborating a little bit, but the word doorway and exactly that slightly paraphrases what he said. He admitted that they're going to open an interdimensional doorway, send something through, and they're not sure what's going to return through that doorway. Now, you don't hear about that very much. That was in 2009. You hear it from me fairly frequently during the years. But it is their primary goal, despite all of their publications about Higgs boson and all these other things. Neutrinos is the latest thing that they're really highlighting, and neutrino understanding leading to fusion reactor success, in which more energy is produced than is required to run a fusion, not fission, fusion reactor. Ostensibly, they claim duplicating, reproducing the actions of our own sun, a fusion reactor. By way of understanding at CERN, the nature of neutrinos. That's their latest thing that they're talking and publishing about. But none of that has anything relevant to their real goal, which is to power this thing up to about 20 peta electron volts. We're now in the quadrillion range of energy being released due to colliding of particles. And that, in my estimation, in the 20 peta electron volt range is about what they're going to need to open this doorway. But as their video Synergy illustrates, it is costing them the self-destruction of their own machine to do that. Perhaps that will happen this year. We see a lot of indicators of life changing suddenly. Peace and safety, and then sudden destruction. Wars and rumors of wars. Another question in band that I'm going to address in a moment regarding the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and that the white horse, the first horse, is already among us. We look at what's going on with COVID and the vaccinations. There are countries like the UK and Canada that are relaxing their mandates, relaxing their quarantines, relaxing their mandatory wearing of a mask. And we ask the question, why? Well, it's Operation Whiplash. There's something else on the horizon, the near horizon, that they're going to release when they say peace and safety. Sudden destruction comes upon them. We have the other indicators of China and Taiwan, Russia and the Ukraine, and NATO, wars and rumors of wars. We see the statements coming out of people like Klaus Schwab that we highlighted in our last live stream regarding the Great Reset and the narrow window of opportunity and accelerating towards that window and the collapsing of the internet, which was born at CERN. Economic collapse as a result of the internet being turned off. Their reset and then post-reset, as we published in the February issue of Entangled Magazine, 5G and 6G, the flipping of the switch, post-reset. All of this appears to be happening, set to happen, including the restarting of CERN this year. We don't claim to be prophets here. We speak in terms of expectations based upon analyzing trends, indicators, predictive programming in the medias, advancements and releases of information regarding science, what their capabilities are, the timing of 5G now in the United States rolling out across the country, and in nearly the same breath talking about 6G. We haven't even finished talking about 5G and they're already talking about 6G. Why are they compounding? Why are they talking about 5 and 6G concurrently now? Well, we told you last year, when they were launching these satellites, they were not just for the purpose of transmitting 5G signals. They included in those satellites the technology for 6G. Well, it's playing out now that that is true. Okay? So, we look at all of these indicators, and it gives us a sense of the timing. Certainly, we pray about this, you and I, we pray about this for the leading of the Lord, the discernment through the Holy Spirit as to what is going on, what can we expect, what's on the horizon. So it's through prayer, not prognostication, not divination, which is what they practice, that these are revealed to us, okay? And when I say us, I'm talking about all of us here, not just Kathleen and myself. Revelation 6, the first seal, the white horse. I'm going to read all of this. Then I watched as the Lamb opened one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say in a thunderous voice, "Come." So I looked, and I saw a white horse, and its rider held a bow. And he was given a crown. And he rode out to overcome and conquer. We believe this white horse with the breaking of the first seal is already well underway, beginning in January of 2020. The second seal, war. And when the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come." Then another horse went forth. It was bright red, and its rider was granted permission to take away peace from the earth and to make men slay one another. And he was given a great sword. Wars and rumors of wars. China, Russia, Taiwan, Ukraine. The third seal, famine. And when the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." Then I looked and saw a black horse, and its rider held in his hand a pair of scales. And I heard what sounded like a voice from among the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and wine." Look at the rampant inflation coupled with the collapsing of the supply chain. Okay. The fourth seal, death. And when the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." Then I looked and saw a pale green horse. Its rider's name was Death, and Hades followed close behind. And they were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, by famine, by plague, and by the beasts of the earth. I think that's Operation Whiplash. The easing of the mandates, the releasing of the fourth seal. When people least expect it, least are prepared, and then they're hit with it. The fifth seal, the martyrs. And when the Lamb opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony they had upheld. And they cried out in a loud voice, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you avenge our blood and judge those who dwell upon the earth?" Then each of them was given a white robe and told to rest a little while longer until the full number of their fellow servants, their brothers, were killed just as they had been killed. The sixth seal, terror. And when I saw the Lamb open the sixth seal, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black like sackcloth of goat hair, and the whole moon turned blood red, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth like unripe figs dropping from a tree shaken by a great wind. The sky receded like a scroll being rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved from its place. Then the kings of the earth, the nobles, the commanders, the rich, the mighty, and every slave and free man hid in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of the one seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to withstand it?" Question was sent by email to us. Jeremiah 19:9. "And I will cause them to eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters, and they shall eat every one the flesh of his friend in the siege and straitness, wherewith their enemies and they that seek their lives shall straiten them." This is in the context, and this is also written out in Deuteronomy 28:53. And the fulfillment of this in Lamentations 4:10. The context of Jeremiah 19:9, the eating of the flesh, is during the famine, the global famine. Okay? The question posed in, you know, it's a fair question, posed to us by way of email was, is this indicative of the CDC, Centers for Disease Control, website, in which they have a section regarding preparing for the zombie apocalypse? I think that Jeremiah 19:9 is more specific to the famine, the global famine, than it is a zombie apocalypse. Now, I suppose you could say this eating of the flesh due to starvation would be a form of a zombie apocalypse. I would grant you that. But this was written in the time of Jeremiah, but yes, the historical record in Scripture also presents prophetically the future. if you want to think about it in terms of history repeating itself, that could be accurate. But in the context of the seals, I think is where we would place Jeremiah 19:9. I think in our modern vernacular or interpretation, we might say it is describing the zombie apocalypse, possibly. So, just covering a couple of questions and statements that we received. So I'd like to go into band now, and I'll need to refresh this as I go through in order to see the latest questions. So let me begin at the beginning of your questions. I wanted to point out, not only is today Pet Therapy Thursday, you know, Kathleen has these items that she has Music Monday and Poetry Tuesday and Pet Therapy Thursday for all of you in band. And I think you guys are all having a lot of fun with this and have found it to be helpful, not just entertaining. So I also wanted to point out that Saturday is Kathleen's birthday. So if you wouldn't mind sending her some happy birthdays and maybe post some happy birthday cards, I know she would appreciate that. I have been admonished not to reveal her age, but she is approaching 80. Okay, let's go on to our questions. Let's see what we have here. Oh, by the way, in Amazon, we provide the opportunity to purchase Entangled Magazine in print form. And since, and I'm just approximating, I think since June of last year, in the new release science category on Amazon for new releases, Entangled has been number one since June of last year. Consecutively, month after month, and it's again number one this month. I want to thank all of you for purchasing Entangled Magazine. To your questions. Alrighty. Question just regarding the magazines themselves. Those of you that subscribe to Entangled and receive it electronically in PDF form, or you are members in Subscribestar and you are subscribed to the magazine, you can download those PDFs into a zip file if you would like to. That was the first question here. So feel free to download them. We would ask that you keep the magazine downloading to yourself. I mean, to be fair, okay? Based on a research paper, this is the question, I found in 2019, it looks like they started integrating messenger RNA into the monoclonal antibodies therapeutics. Is this therapy the mark of the beast too? Seems logical because people are still choosing science, but sad because people who take this are against the injection, even though this is injected into them as well. Yes, there is no injection that is specific to the disease COVID-19. Pardon me, I'm on the fire department, the volunteer fire department. I may have to go. If I do, I have to shut down this live stream, and I apologize. Give me just a moment. Okay. I have to go. I apologize. Talk to you later.